Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I'm glad to be able to share with you another broadcast time together. As you've tuned me in this morning, I'm just pleased to give you the stations that have tuned us in this morning, and we're just looking forward to sharing the message with you. We begin with Ionia, WION, 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM, and over in the Lower Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock. And then the sister station is Greenville, WGRM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others to tune me in by way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. You bring the mouse up over messages from the lighthouse, and current media will show up, and you click on current media, and the top message is the one that is there for you to be able to listen to today. There's other messages there. If you have time and want to do it, you're welcome to do so. I need to say thank you to those that support the radio broadcast ministry, and so a thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area, to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from the Orleans area, and to Shadow Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, and I'd always like to give an invitation for you to attend the services there. I pastored in Shiloh, and at Shiloh, Saturday evening begins our first service at 6:30 in the evening. Sunday morning begins at 9 o'clock, and then a temporary service at 10:45. And over to Greenville, we have a campus located there, too, at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We just give you an invitation to attend any one of those services that you would so desire. Just a short time ago, I did a service, a funeral service for Kay Gay London, and Gay was a part of our church, her and her husband Dave, and Dave passed away about 6 years ago. And then they were supporters of the radio broadcast together, and then she supported the radio broadcast after he had passed in memory and honor of him, all except in the last few months when she was not able to do it anymore. But you know, they gave some memorial money for her service, and they wanted to go to radio broadcast, so we thank those who are supported in that kind of a way. And we're just so pleased to be able to share with you that God has been able to meet all of our needs. But there is an opening if somebody wants to support the radio broadcast week by week. You're more than welcome to be able to do so. Our message this morning is kind of a different message, but I'm sure looking forward to sharing it with you, because a lot of it has to do with what I'm going through in my life. I kind of want to just say it this way, and then we'll see if we can clarify it. It's so hard to hurry and wait when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Some of you there today, aren't you? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God says a lot about waiting in His Word. But you and I have always been just go, 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 go. That's the way my life was. Started when I was about 7 or 8, working with my stepdad. And it seems like life has just been a lot of work and a lot of good things to be able to do. So we'll get started in that message in just a few moments. But before we do, we got a song we want to kind of prepare our hearts and minds for. And this song is helping us to get ready for the service. It says, "Waiting is triumphant." Now, I don't know. This waiting period, I've been homebound for almost a month now, and it was bad enough with COVID, the limitations you had, but then when you don't have the physical strength, it even adds more to that. So we're going to listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message for today, that God's special blessing would be upon us. And we'll just talk about waiting, okay? Here we go.
What good is it on my knees, crying and begging, please? It is no good if I'm not waiting triumphantly. God will be on the scene just any time. Waiting at daily birth, owning the bloodstained book, waiting triumphantly till he arrives.
And I am
hoping, expectantly,
I am
waiting triumphantly. God will be on the scene just any time.
Waiting triumphantly. We need to kind of be able to do that, if at all possible, for each and every one of us. You know, God's promise, if we wait on Him, that's going to be a victory. But you know, as the process carries on, it's just very difficult sometimes for each and every one of us. But one of the things that I believe helps the most, and we've had so many people from the church that's been a big help, as they remember us in prayer, and many of the rest of you that's on my Facebook mentioned about how you're praying for me, and I appreciate that so much. And then the church people have brought in a lot of meals. I do the cooking, and I didn't have a whole lot of energy, so I do the breakfasts, but we've been had so many meals brought in that it's really been a special blessing. And that really makes you feel good. Makes you feel like, hey, this is something that is very special. But when you come to the message this morning, you know, I got to tell you right up front, my biggest thing today, as I sat here by this microphone, is you, the listening audience. I love sharing with you. And I love it when I meet some of you in the supermarket that you tell me that you listen to the broadcast. And that means a whole lot to me that we're being able to get the message out and being able to share it in this way. Even though I don't like it that my voice isn't the way it used to be, but I'm just trusting the Lord it'll be coming back. It has came back some, and so I'm very grateful for that. So I want to remember you, the listening audience. And if you have an unspoken request, I'd like to remember that in the prayer time, that God would just bless whatever your unspoken request is. He might minister to you through it. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come. We come on behalf of the listening audience. Come to pray for them and for their families. Come to pray, Father, for the one that is sick and tired of being sick and tired, as we shared a message this morning. Come to pray for that one this morning that's in a waiting room. And waiting rooms are never a very good experience. A lot of difficulty. Time seems to go by so slowly, and we just pray for each one that's going through that period of time right now in their life. And then, Father, as we come to you, we want to remember whatever the needs are. Realize that from week to week, the needs change. Sometimes they're physical needs. Sometimes they're spiritual needs. Sometimes they're financial needs. Sometimes it's just loneliness. Our four walls close in on us tightly. And sometimes, Father, as you go through those times, it becomes very difficult. So I just trust that this morning's message is going to be a source of comfort and strength, and be a source of encouragement to them. And I especially want to pray for any unspoken requests that they might have. Dear Father, right now, as they focus on that unspoken request, I want you, Father, if you would, show them something that they need to know. Give them some enlightenment about how things are going. And then be pleased, Father, to give them the comfort, the strength, yes, and even the challenge that they need to do to make sure they're doing their part. Guide us and direct us as we look into your word now. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you're in a waiting room experience, and it's not something that you like, you know, that's going to come to every one of our individual lives. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which isn't a book that gives us a whole lot of excitement, but it does make some statements that God would want us to get a hold of. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven." And it goes on to say, everything has its own time, and there's a special time for every activity under heaven. Everything on earth has a special season. There's an opportunity of time to do things. A right time for everything on earth. You know, God's saying they got seasons of life. And we know that. I got to be upfront and honest with you, you know, the first part of the winter when the snow was kind of limited and it wasn't near as cold as it has been these past days. Our house is an old house, and I got to tell you, you know, in the summertime before we got air conditioning in, it would take her 3 or 4 good hot days before she kind of would finally warm up and get quite hot in the house. So we never really did air conditioning until a couple of years ago. Same thing with the coldness. You know, it would take 4 or 5 days of the kind of weather we've been having. And all of a sudden, the house was getting cold. We just turned up the thermostat. We said we're not going to Florida. So we'll just turn up the thermostat a little bit. The money that we normally spent in Florida, we'll spend for heat here in Michigan. I've always loved what Jesus said about his work ethic. In the book of John, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "We must do what the one who sent me wants us to do while it is day. The night when no one can do anything is coming." Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light for the world." And you know, in my years of ministry, I was always looking forward to keeping very busy, never being satisfied with the size of the church, never being satisfied with what things we're accomplishing, just kind of using the idea, what could we accomplish? And there's one statement that I really liked in the book of Matthew 26:46. "The servant will be blessed if his master finds him doing the job when he comes." The servant will be blessed if you're keeping on doing what you're doing. That's why I'm trying my very best to see if we can keep on doing what I'm doing. One of those seasons of life is as we get older, we must deal with some physical problems as the body does not work as well as it used to. We learned from a woman that she was sick, and she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. She found herself in God's waiting room with a lesson to learn from the downtime of life. One of the lessons I think that we need to learn from this downtime of life is to wait on the Lord. You know, you wait in so many places. You go through the fast food service, they've got faster, but you still have to wait. You know, you wait in this line and that line. And she found herself in God's waiting room, and she found herself going to learn some lessons from that. In God's waiting room, it tells us in the book of Psalms. The Psalms is a good place to read when you're having some disappointing times. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Somebody needed that this morning. I've been needing that, verses like that. Here's another one. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out his evil devices. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Not to be preachy, but let me give you one more. Psalm number 40, verses 1 and 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry for help. He pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the mud and the clay. He set my feet on a rock, and he made my steps secure. That's what God is saying this waiting experience is about. It's almost like I see sometimes young mamas give their children a timeout. It seems like sometimes God gives us a timeout. Sometimes he's saying to us, I just want you to slow down and wait. Be still and wait patiently for the Lord. That's what he seems to be saying this morning from those verses. So as we get into our message for today, we want to deal with two different things that happen in two different people's life. And it happened around the same period of time. The backgrounds is totally different. And Jesus is involved in both of their lives. And there's some lessons that I want to learn from that period of time. It's hard to hurry and wait. I can remember when I was a milkman. You know, I was afraid of people. Because I had been told many times by my stepdad that I would never amount to anything. And that created within me just not a sense of security, but insecurity. And so I was afraid of people. But I was thinking, how can you be a master and be afraid of people? You got to be a people person. And so I started thinking about different things that I might do. And a gentleman told me that he was going to quit a job that he had as a milkman. He said, Ken, I think that job would really help you. Because I sense that you're a little afraid of people. And you take the milk right in the house sometimes, put it right in the refrigerator. And then you have to meet a lot of people. You have to collect the money for the milk. And so you have to meet a lot of people. You know, I took that job. And it was one of the best things I ever did to help me. All of a sudden, I could see people that just liked me for me. I could also see people that were just down in my life all the time. But they were saying things that was beneficial and helpful. But you know, one of the things that I had when I was a milkman, I had a little statement. It wasn't scripture. But I would sometimes I'd be trying to hurry. You know, you're a little bit behind, so you kind of hurry. And then the statement that I would use, it says, the more faster I go, the more behinder I get. So I learned, slow down. Pace yourself. And I think that's so good. You know, most of us will do that anyway with age. We just realize we can't go the same speed that we was always going. And so we'll slow down. I've noticed my driving has slowed down. I'm happy with 55. But I got to tell you, everybody else on the highway isn't happy with 55. Had to pick up a prescription in Greenville the other day. And so I was headed to Greenville. I was just by myself and driving along. I was doing 55. But there's a car behind me, and I could see, man, he really wanted to pass. And finally, he did pass. And it wasn't a really good, secure place where he passed. But we got to the red light in Greenville. And you know what? There that fellow was waiting because the red light was red. And I was right behind him. I thought, you know, he was in a big hurry. But he only made the length of his car. That's all he is ahead of me. And I like this thing God shares with us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some people count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's saying God reaches out to us, and God's not moved by time. God just wants us to know he has compassion upon us. And in his time, he'll work with each and every one of us. You know, when you learn about life and living life, I've always liked the book of James. James, I say, is short-sleeve Christianity. You got your sleeves rolled up and you're ready to do the job. In the book of James, chapter 4, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city. We'll spend about a year there, and we'll buy and sell and we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Ever ask that question? What is my life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, now this is what we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance as some boast in evil. So he said, just say we're going to go do this and this and this and this, and about a year and make money, and then we're going to move to another city. I believe it's so important for us to realize that there was a man that was one of the characters in our message this morning. Is a man named, Mark chapter 5:21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, there was a great multitude of people, and he was by the seaside. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, named Jairus by name, when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly. He didn't care there's a big crowd there. He just fell at his feet and he started begging Jesus, my little daughter, she lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her that she may be healed and she will live. He had faith in this God. So Jesus went with him and there was a great multitude of people there. So they said, let's follow him. And they thronged him. And Jesus was very busy, but he was not in a hurry. We need to learn from Jesus how very busy you can be, but never be in a hurry. We'll see how this process works out in just a few moments. But you know, great souls are grown through the struggles and the storms of life. That man was in a struggle and a storm of life. One of his daughters is dying. Matter of fact, we'll find out a little later, it's his only daughter. And she's only 12 years old. And to face the death of your daughter at 12 years old was a tremendous big difficulty. And God wants us to know that he wants to reach out to each and every one of us with some comfort and concern. So Jesus is there. He's ready to go with this man. And he gets ready to leave, and a crowd follows him. And I got to tell you, there's a big crowd following him. And as they follow him, he's going to go to this house, and he's going to lay his hands on his daughter, and she's going to be okay. I believe the way that man came to Jesus is the way God has told us we should come to him, prayerfully and patiently. If it would come, Jesus. I like this another psalm for you because it's got all the emotion in it. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let us, one who waits on you, not be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path, lead me in your truth, and teach me each day. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Now that's what this man, he got there. Now what he got to do, he's got Jesus is coming to his house. And a big large group of people decide to follow too. And they're on their way to this man's house. And they think this is very good. But I got to give you the rest of the story. There's a woman that is there. And she came and she saw the large crowd of people. And you know what? She was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And the woman there had a subject of a problem with bleeding. And she had been dying for 12 years. That's interesting. The girl had been living for 12 years. And this woman had been dealing with a physical problem for 12 years. And not only that, she spent all of her money on doctors. And she wasn't getting better. In fact, she was growing worse. She was sick and tired of being sick and tired. She had gone to the doctors and things were not getting any better. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and started working her way through the crowd of people. And she worked her way through so she could reach up and she could touch the hem of his garment. I believe she was on her hands and knees at the end. And she reached up and she touched the hem of his garment. And she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I know that. And she felt in her body, when she touched the hem of his garment, that she was healed. You see, folks, it's not any different for her than it is for each one of us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard what Jesus was doing, and she decided that she would reach out to Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment, and she believed she'd be healed. But remember, they're headed to this little girl's house to save her life, and all of a sudden, Jesus knows that someone has touched him by faith. And we'll deal with that when we get back. But you know what? We've got a song I want us to listen to. And I like this song. I like the idea of the song. The potter knows the clay. Jesus knew the need there was in that man's life for his daughter. But Jesus also knew the need there was in that woman's life who had been dying for 12 years. Losing blood made her be insecure because they were looked down as an outcast, and that was causing her a lot of difficulty. So we'll listen to this song, and we'll be right back in just a few minutes after we get to listen to the song. And this song is saying, Jesus knows the clay. He knows your life. He knows my life. And he wants to reach out to each and every one of us. God bless you.
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, fire and time, it's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago. That my God was in control. the hottest days I cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, 'cause the potter knows the clay. He's planned a beautiful design, the potter, he knows the clay.
And I'm so glad that the potter knows the clay. He understands all about you and I and what we're going through and the difficulties we have within our lives. And he's saying to us, I want you to wait. This woman had spent all of her money, and she was getting worse. She was desperate. She needed to reach out to Jesus, and she did. And you know, this was something that was totally different than any other experience in Jesus' life. The realization this woman had been sick for 12 years, the same age as the little girl was that was dying. And Jesus stopped with a question. There's this big crowd of people following him. And he stopped with a question. He said, who touched me? Who touched me? Disciples tried to say, Jesus, don't you see this crowd of people following you? Probably somebody just bumped you. No, Jesus said, somebody reached out from faith, by faith. Because I felt the power leave my body and went into somebody else's body and healed them. And you know, the woman wasn't going to respond for just a little while. But then she started thinking about it. And finally, she just says this. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding you, Peter says. And yet you say, who touched me? Jesus kept looking around. I love that. Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, she came and went, listen. She fell at his feet with trembling, with fear. She told him the whole truth. I love what Jesus did to her. Told him she had spent all of his money, her money. She was getting worse, and she thought, if I just could touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. That's all I wanted to do. And Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, being freed from your suffering. All of a sudden, it was gone. Her life was changed. I love that in her thinking, she started out as a nobody. But because she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was a somebody. Another blessing to her, she heard Jesus say, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be healed from this plague that's been upon you. What Jesus is saying to this woman, who for 12 years had been going through the difficulty, I believe also the father of this girl heard Jesus say the same thing. It's like he's saying, we got to get to the house. I told you my daughter's dying. Jesus, you need to lay your hands on her. I don't find any place he said that. But you know, you can imagine, he's thinking, we're on a mission. When we're on a mission, we should head to it. She was not the only one that heard all that talk. Who touched me? And the disciples talking to Jesus. I believe he was just saying, come on, let's go. Let's keep moving. You know what, folks? That's what God wants us to realize. When we're going through the waiting time in your life, there's a scripture that gives us this promise. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ, that Jesus is going to work it all out. I love that song about the potter and the clay. It said several times in that song, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And when we're in the waiting room, we need to trust it's going to be all right. We don't know how that's going to work out, but we know that is something that is for us to hang on to as an individual. You know, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And that was good news. But all of a sudden, there's some people coming running from the house of this man, Jairus. And while Jesus was still speaking to that woman, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, I believe he's saying to him, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. That comes from Jesus. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the turmoil of people that was there, and they were all weeping and crying, when he came, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead. She's just asleep. And they made fun of Jesus. They ridiculed him. But he put all them people outside of the house. And he took with him the parents and then the disciples that was with him. And he went into the little girl's room. And he took her by the hand. And he said, little girl, arise. And she sat up. She started to talk. And immediately the girl rose and walked. For she was only 12 years of age. And they were all overcome by amazement. The disciples and mom and dad, remember what he said to the dad? Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe and you'll see that this is going to turn out okay. I just want you to believe. Jesus had put the other ones out of the house because they were negative. And so he wanted them not to be there. Jesus told the man, and I believe those words echoed in his heart the rest of his life. Don't be afraid. Only believe. And that's what God comes to you and I. He's saying to us in the waiting rooms of your life. He's saying to me in the waiting room of my life. Only believe. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep going and doing the things that he wants you to do. And I got to tell you, folks, that is the answer. Now we've got two different people who are going home a lot happier because they waited on Jesus, because they trusted in Jesus. That woman's gone home that night, and she's going to be a more comfortable night than she's ever spent because of the realization that she's been healed from that plague of the disease that had been bothering her for 12 years. May I say this when you get a headache and it lasts a day or two or three hours. That's hard enough to go through. But you know something, when it's been 12 years, that's really hard to go through. There's something that these two people did that I believe was what God would have us to understand this morning. And that was kind of illustrated, I believe, when this woman came out of her home and the crowd was going by her house. And she's saying to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And I believe where she joins the crowd, she's way the back of the crowd. And I believe she's going through a whole lot of difficulty trying to work her way through to get closer to Jesus. And that massive crowd isn't really looking to her for too much. Matter of fact, if they knew her problem, they would call her unclean. She was an outcast. But she said, I want to touch the hem of his garment, and I know I'll be healed. The dad was faced with some of that same kind of thing, of hurrying and waiting. All of a sudden, when that whole crowd gets stopped, dad's anxious to get on to his daughter. And then when the word comes that she's dead, I'm sure glad that Jesus didn't listen to what the people said. Why trouble the master any further? Just let him go on about doing other things. He's too late for this thing. And sometimes we have those feelings in our life, like it's just a little bit too late for us, that we just think, well, go do something to help somebody else. But we need to all realize that what Jesus said was, don't be afraid, only believe. And so the word that I want to give you this morning as we leave is the word press on. Press on. That woman, I love watching her. Excuse me. Can I get in here? Excuse me. And finally, when she gets closer to Jesus, as I mentioned, I don't have much to prove this, but she just wants to touch the hem of his garment. She just wants to reach up and touch the hem of his garment. So I believe there she is, crawling on her hands and knees. And all of a sudden she can see he's right there. And then she reaches up and she touches the hem of his garment. And immediately she's healed. That's so much a blessing to her. And she knows she's healed. She can tell in her body, this is all going to be okay now. And that was pretty special for her to experience. But then when Jesus said, who touched me? Can you imagine? Come on, it don't matter, Jesus, the man could say, whose daughter was dying at 12. We got to get to my house. My daughter is in serious condition. We don't have time for this, Jesus. We'll figure that out later. And then when the woman realizes that she can't be hidden, she comes before him and trembles as she said, I'm the one that touched you. I just touched the hem of your garment because I knew I'd be healed. And Jesus says to her, and those wee words ring out loud. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. You know what Jesus was saying to her? The faith you had in me has healed you of what you was plagued with. Go in peace. Go in peace. It had been turmoil for her. She watched her funds disintegrate. And she wasn't getting any better. In fact, she was getting worse. And so she's wondering, what in the world am I going to do? And then she reaches out by faith. I would encourage you, press on, press on. I would encourage you to realize that God wants you to go just a little further. He wants you to try just a little harder. And if you're going through the difficulties of things not happening, it's hard for you to wait when you're in a hurry. That waiting when you're in a hurry is very difficult. And it's hard for you to wait. I like some words that the Apostle Paul shared. It's in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. He's talking about his Christian experience. He said, you know, he was a Pharisee. He was a good Pharisee. He was well equipped to be a good Pharisee. He said, I want to be found in him. I want to be found connected to Jesus. And he says, and not my own righteousness that can come to me for being a Pharisee, but I want God's righteousness, which is not from the law, that which is through faith in Christ. Both of these people were encouraged to have faith in Christ. The righteousness was from God by faith. Now listen to this, folks. That I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He brought that little girl back to life. As far as death is concerned, Jesus said it's just like sleeping. He raised different ones to life. But boy, Easter's coming up the first week of April. And he raised himself to life. I'm working on that message, that idea. I really love Easter. And I love the message that it can be for Easter. Jesus said, I have received authority from my Father to lay my life down and die upon the cross. And I have received authority from my Father to take my life back up again. And that's what Jesus was doing for each one of these. And that's what he wants to do for you and I. He gave life back to that little girl. And he gave life of peace back to this woman that had been suffering for 10 years. Let me just share with you in closing what Paul said. He said, not as though I've already attained to all of this. I'm still growing. All of us are growing. Not already perfect. But listen to what he says. I press on, that I may take hold of Christ Jesus and all that he's taken hold of me for. I want to be the person, Paul is saying, that Christ Jesus wants me to be. That's what I want to be. And brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, now here we go, one thing I do if you're going to press on, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm pressing forward to. And we know that's what we need to do. One of my exercises I've been doing since I've been having this difficulty gaining my strength back is an exercise that had me stand by the sink. And I'm ready to grab a hold of the sink if I need to and stand on my tippy toes. I got to tell him, you know, this idea of standing on my tippy toes at almost 86 is not the best thing that I can possibly do. I got a song I want to listen to, but it hasn't come up yet. Just a second here. There we go. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. This song is Healing Jesus. Jesus wants to make things better for you. He wants to make things better for me.
Desperate she had become. This was her one chance for healing. She pushed the crowd aside. She had to try to meet him. Down the road, in the distance, her one chance for for hope. She reached out and touched his garment, and she was made whole. Still there is a healing Jesus. Listen, he's moving your way. Don't you feel wants to touch you today. You can't ignore the fact that you're right back where you started. Within yourself you've tried, but still you cry broken. Down the aisle, there is someone now reaching out to you. Stand up, this is your healing.